This episode of A Tiny Revolution is brought to you by Reimagination Masterclass, a 12-week group spiritual direction cohort designed to help you move deeper into your spiritual practice and the life you are always meant to live. Classes in session September 22nd, so go to thekevingarcia.com/masterclass to learn more. A Tiny Revolution features adults having adult conversations, so adult language is going to be present, just so you know. Hey friends, you're listening to A Tiny Revolution, a podcast about ordinary people living revolutionary lives. I'm Kevin Garcia, and welcome to episode 99. Yes, am I behind? Always. When am I not behind? I've been doing so many amazing projects that I can't wait to share with you. So thanks for your patience. Some announcements before I actually get into who we're talking to today. If you missed the announcement on the interwebs, I am publishing my book. Yes, it's happening. I decided that I wanted to self-publish. Because I frankly could not find an agent or a publishing house who was willing to take a risk on me. And I said, you know what? I'll take a risk on myself. I'm going to put this out there and just see who hits. Because at the end of the day, like, I just want this book to be out of my head. It's been floating around in my brain for too long. So it's coming out in December. If you want to learn more about that and become part of the book launch team or just want updates on what's happening with the book, you can go to thekevingarcia.com/book. Very simple. Other thing I wanted to announce is I am launching my masterclass. We're calling it the Reimagination Masterclass. Formerly, I was calling it a course in reimagination, but I'm like, the word course doesn't quite fit that. And someone suggested to me, why don't you call it a masterclass? And it's like, wow, that is a good idea. And also, I'm not a master, but you know what we are together? We are masters. It's one of those things where, like, we are masters of our own experience and we bring this wisdom. So it's like this classroom setting that we're creating is something for every single one of us. What the masterclass, what Reimagination Masterclass really entails is one-on-one coaching with me, weekly calls with the cohort of people that you're going to be working through, 12 video modules, working through different sort of spiritual concepts and praxis so that you can actually start addressing the trauma that you've been carrying and begin to change your mind about the reality that you're living in. It's one of those things. I've been really passionate about wanting to create some sort of group thing, because so many of us just don't have it. We don't have groups to explore spirituality together. We don't have places to feel broken. We don't have places to bring our full authentic self without judgment. So this is the space to do that, my friends. So if you are out there and you're listening to this and you're like, wow, I've been looking for some kind of group that I could be a part of, join me, join us for Reimagination Masterclass. Things you should know, this is going up on a Friday, and registration is going to be going live on Saturday, September 14th. So that's tomorrow if you're listening to this when it comes out. So go ahead and head over to thekevingarcia.com/masterclass, and you'll get all the information there. If it's not live, it'll be live on Saturday, but if you're doing this on Friday, you can sign up for my mailing list, and you'll get an email about it. So go ahead and check all of that shit out. And if you're thinking, oh, that sounds like it's going to be expensive, don't worry. You can break up the payment for this course into like 12 to 18 easy payments so that you're not breaking your bank and you are getting the help that you need and the direction you need and the community that you need. If you're saying, just like, oh, I don't know if this is for me. If you're somebody who has been in spiritual crisis for a while, or you're just like, you have been deconstructing for forever and you're trying to reconstruct, if you're trying to figure out who you are and why you're here and what you want to do with the rest of your life, this is for you. Absolutely, this is for you. So join me for Reimagination Masterclass starting September 22nd for 12 weeks of deep, beautiful, diverse, inspiring, transformative community and spiritual direction and work. And yeah, make no mistakes. Like, this is going to be work. We're going to put you through the spiritual ringer. We want to get you out of your trauma and into a truly delicious life. Okay? Cool. What did I say? Again, that's thekevingarcia.com/masterclass. Sorry, that sounded so cheesy. But we love cheese. Anyways, other things coming up. Oh, last thing. Big Queer Fam Weekend. If y'all haven't been following me on the social media, you may or may not know. I'm starting this thing called the Big Queer Adventure Co., which is seeking to create powerful, fun, cool, adventurous trips for LGBTQ people of faith to experience healing, community, and fun, among other things. So our first event is going to be the Big Queer Fame Weekend here in Atlanta, Georgia. We're gathering together. We're going to have a kickback. We're going to hang out with one another. We're going to do some intentional healing practices. We're going to hear the stories of other LGBTQ people of faith. Tickets are available over at thekevingarcia.com/bigqueerweekend. And again, all my stuff's on my website. It's easy to find, thekevingarcia.com. Go check it out. And if you're somebody who is in need of scholarships, you want to come, but again, like, money's tight, reach out. We're trying to make some things happen. I'm currently reaching out to churches to see if we can get some money donated or, like, you know, sponsoring some people's tickets. And if you're someone out there who you're listening and like, oh, I have the means, I could spare $50 or I could send an extra $10 in. That would be great. You can actually do that at, all the information is on the website, where you can both get your early bird tickets, your regular tickets. And the other thing, if you're a seminary student, I'm working on updating it because I kind of just felt this move in my spirit. I'm like, you know, I think that I need to create a student ticket. So I'm going to do that. We're going to be creating a student ticket. There's still early bird tickets available, though. So if you are someone who is not a student, but you want a cheaper ticket, there's only like 7 of them left, so you better get your ass over there and get them. Okay. I think that's everything. I'm excited about this. Also, the announcement for next week is episode 100, which actually happened back during the middle of summertime. I just haven't put it up because I've been busy working on my book and, of course, and all this other shit. But episode 100 is with my friend, the Reverend Sarah Heath, and the phenomenal Science Mike Park. So please join me next week for that. Mark your calendars, share it widely and whatnot. So... Anyways, let's get into who we're talking to this week. This week I'm having a conversation with the creators of Vine and Fig Co., Pat and Patrick. Vine and Fig is the fruit of many conversations between Patrick Weston, Pat Goffman, and our friend Michael Vasquez, who's been on the podcast before, realizing a need for a space online where queer Catholics could have our lives affirmed as true, holy, and beautiful, as well as the greater need for community. They formed Vine and Fig that they might lean on each other and show the church the fruitfulness of their lives. Halle, halle. That's what I love. A little bit about Pat and Patrick. Pat Goffman is a former seminarian, former theology teacher, and a former religious brother. He lives in Seattle with his fiance and is the editor of Reaching Out, a collection of LGBTQ stories from people of all faiths. And Patrick Weston grew up in farm country and going to mass with his family and holds Catholic values, especially social justice for society's most vulnerable, close to his heart. While it took some time to figure it out, he's realized that he can be gay and Catholic at the same time. He lives in Columbus, Ohio, and develops websites for socially good clients. They're a really, really cool community. They have a great newsletter. So, you know, if you're queer and you're Catholic out there, this one is a big shout out to you. So go ahead and grab yourself something to drink, settle in, call your friend, send this to a friend, you know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, all that shit, and enjoy this conversation with my new friends, Pat and Patrick, the creators of Vine and Fig.
So my name is Patrick Weston, and I'm one of the co-founders of Vine and Fig.
And I'm Pat Goffman. I'm also one of the co-founders of Vine and Fig. I live in Austin, Texas, but we are in Columbus, Ohio, here recording this.
Which is, I guess, my hometown, yeah.
What's in Columbus this weekend?
There is a conference where people are selling very interesting bags, according to Pat. There's a jazz and rib festival. There's all sorts of fun stuff. It's also going to be...
Jazz and ribs,
and also 100-degree heat. So we have true Southern experience up here this weekend, it sounds like.
And unfortunately, even though Patrick lives here, I didn't come in town for any of those things. I just happened to be a flight attendant, and I'm here for work.
That's phenomenal. Well, look at the Lord just lining everything up. That's actually pretty phenomenal, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's probably the also third y'all
don't
or fourth
have because y'all are Catholic. You don't say things like "Look at the Lord."
we say "Look at Mary" instead.
Yes. God, won't she do it? Won't she do it? So let's unpack this a little bit. You guys are queer. You guys are Catholic, and you're not about to jump ship on the good old universal church.
Yeah, that, I feel like that's a question we get asked a lot, or like people even in Vine and Fig ask us, you know, how do you deal with this cognitive dissonance of belonging to this church or organization that's not really affirming? Mm-hmm. And I think it's something, at least me personally, that I grapple with pretty often and think about from time to time. But I also feel like I am Catholic to my bones and that I can't mm-hmm. change that or shake that. And I'm going to stick around and kind of try to push the needle and be some of the change that is much needed.
Right.
And I think it's pretty much the most understandable question in the world, especially when you see so many queer Christians who have created these amazing, positive, vibrant places, both online and in real physical churches that are affirming and fantastic. And it's totally legitimate to say, well, why wouldn't you be more comfortable in one of those spaces? And, you know, I think for me, it comes down to it being queer is an essential part of who I am, but it's not the whole of who I am. And there's this bigger piece that is kind of woven into every seam as well. And that I've got to grapple with both sides of that. And, and I feel deeply called to be a part of making the Catholic Church a better, more affirming place, rather than just saying I've got to leave for you know, my own health, my own well-being, and all of that, which are totally legitimate. I would never judge anybody who left the Catholic Church for those reasons. It's absolutely can be, you know, exactly what you need and what God wants. But for me, I've never been able to let go of that idea that but it could be better, and it gets better by people on the inside really working at it really hard. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Can I push on one thing you said that
please.
I think is really interesting? Is, so you said, like, you know, being queer is an essential part of who I am, but it's not the whole of who I am. There's also this other thing that's bigger, and I assume you're talking about your faith. I would posit an idea that maybe these two things is not so much that just like that queerness is not the whole of your identity, but that your queerness is as important as your faith. Like, you know, it's like these things of just like, I am both of these things. I am queer, I am Christian, and neither, like, they're both expressions of God, right? And so it's not that, like, I wanted to, like, I, like, there's this thing like that, because that line kind of reminds me of, like, how growing up, a lot of people would say, well, you know, don't put your identity in your sexuality, put it in Christ. And I'm like, I am, like, by choosing to follow Christ, that means choosing to be truthful, and choosing to be truthful means being truthful about these emotions, attractions, how I perceive beauty, how I form relationships, both platonic and romantic. And it is just as much God for me to go to church and receive communion as it is for me to engage in a relationship with my partner. So I don't know, like, you know, what do you think about that? Of just like, you know, like how, you know, how does queerness, like, play into your life or and faith like that?
Yeah, entirely. I agree. And it's, you got a glimpse of my usual poor wording, that it kind of came off as one being more important than the other. I think I'm drawn especially to the analogy of that I read someone else use. The kind of queerness is like a drop of wine in a glass of water. Like, it infuses every part. You can't separate the queerness from your life, just like you can't separate the wine from the water after they've been mixed together. And so, and I feel similarly about my faith, that there are times when it feels stronger. There are times when it feels more natural to my life. And there's times when I struggle with faith and I don't want to identify as a Christian, let alone a Catholic at all. But I've never been able to, But I've never been able to take the wine back out of the water of my faith either. Like, it's always been there. And most days at the end of the day, I manage to be grateful for that fact. And can see how both of those sides, queerness and my faith, have made me a stronger, better, more compassionate person.
Damn straight. How many times, like, I tell people all the time, I was like, listen, coming out made me a better Christian. Coming out brought me closer to God. Like, I don't know, like, what other evidence you need of God's blessing, but, like, y'all are wild.
Yeah, and the thing that I was kind of thinking of, Kevin, when you were making your point, is that when I was coming out, I was kind of grappling with what I thought to be kind of two edges of a teeter-totter, which were my queerness and my Catholic faith. And I kept thinking that I had to almost like pick a side, and I would kind of lean one way. So maybe I'd lean towards celibacy or something and kind of lean into my Catholic faith. And I felt like I would lose the other side of myself. And then I finally hit a point where it was just like, wait a second, why don't you just choose both things? They can be complementary of each other. But also I've seen, you know, evidence of my queer identity kind of strengthening my Catholic identity, and also vice versa. So it was once I made that decision to kind of lean into both of them that I felt like I really started to grow as a person. And kind of
like, what I love about the Catholic faith, and like what, because I got my degree in music education. So the entirety of a music education degree is learning the mass, if I'm being completely frank. Learning the structure of a mass, why certain things are happening, why these texts, why this music. And so I, you know, got into like a little bit of like mystical Catholicism in college, just because I was introduced to all of these different texts. And what I find so interesting too is that there are so many parts of the Catholic tradition, so many stories, like the stories of the saints, stories and legends of saints. I'm just like, you know, like maybe not necessarily like in the idea of like a sexuality queer identity, but the way they lived was queer, in the way that they were breaking down binaries and barriers between God and God's people. You know what I'm saying? Like Saint Francis, for example, is the one that always comes to mind for me, because here he was like this person, you know, a rich man or a rich man's son, who then breaks the boundary between, you know, the poor and the rich. He says, because you know what, I'm going to go be with them, and like gives up his whole life, and then breaks the binaries between men and women with his relationship, with how he developed different women. And then, you know, his relationship with nature, like preaching to birds. I'm like, he's showing us the queerness of God, in my opinion, and how God breaks those barriers open. And so a lot of people, like they either don't have the eyes to see, or they just haven't been told.
Yeah, Catholicism is a very earthly religion. It's insistent upon the kind of belief that you can find God here, and that God is communicating with you here and now in your everyday life, and that you find God in the Mass, in this beauty that you try and create through, you know, music and beautiful spaces and things like that, and that you can go out in nature like Francis and interact with the animals and plants in a way that, you know, still feels kind of, you know, hippie and pseudo spiritual and stuff like that. But when you actually get down and try it for yourself, you're like, wow, I actually am experiencing the divine in a new way, and in our relationships, and trying new ways to interact with each other, like you're describing, in ways that genuinely are queer. You can find God and divine presence there. It's a kind of a unique insistence upon the idea that God is here with us right now, and can be found all around us.
And do you, I assume you experienced that within your own Catholic faith, yeah?
Yeah, you know, I went so far as, when I was in my good old celibacy days, to join a religious order that was pretty darn inspired by Saint Francis. Actually, it was a mendicant order, so they were a begging order. I was living, you know, in France, in some of the land that in southern France, where, you know, Francis and Saint Dominic were out roaming around, and they, it was, you know, sold all my possessions and said goodbye to my family for what I thought was more or less forever, and just joined this mendicant religious order. And I will say one thing. It was abundantly clear to me that, like, I only did it just to, like, run away from dealing with my sexuality at the time. Like, once I got there, it was like, oh, fuck, what did I just do? But then I was there, and I was like, wow.
Relatable, because yeah. I also kind of did that. They weren't quite a cult, but they were damn near close to one. But it was like it was basically like a co-living community they were definitely evangelical, but Pentecostal evangelical. But it was like a place where you were supposed to go and live and, like, kind of live in this intentional, you know, vows of poverty, vows of celibacy community, where we're all just trying to find God or whatnot. But really, it was just, like, turned out to be a bunch of people who were really ashamed of themselves and didn't actually know how to function in the real world. But that's another story for another time. But the same thing, I was running from my sexuality. Same reason I became a missionary was, like, I was running because if I do this holy thing, if I fill myself up with the holy, there's gonna be no room for my sin nature, y'all.
And for me, at least, there was this sense that if I go and do kind of this big grand spiritual act, that folks will see that and they won't see this other thing, that they were really starting to catch on to the fact that as just, you know, a celibate dude, you know, living in Dallas, that I wasn't dating, that I wasn't doing these things that was expected of me as a good Catholic man. And so they were, you know, I was really hoping, I put all my chips on the table to try and say, you know, to really bet that I could finally become some kind of, you know, good Catholic if I did this.
Not even realizing you were already good.
Exactly.
What about you, Pat? Is there any sort of, like, interesting, weird, mysterious things you've experienced?
I always joke that Pat's life is more interesting than mine, because mine is pretty vanilla when it comes to things. I did not move to France at any point in time, but
as good of a Catholic as he is.
Exactly, that's the entire reason.
He realized he was good all along. He didn't have to.
Right. That makes sense. Good.
No, I think I, in similar ways, like, I dated women for long periods of time, thinking that that was kind of the path for me and that sort of thing. So I guess in similar aspects, some interesting pieces of life, but no selling of possessions or anything like that. But kind of back to the point about Catholicism being kind of earthly in nature, I find that I'm really drawn to things like feet washing and, like, use of oils and music and, like, all of these kind of sensory experiences. Exactly, the sacraments too. I don't know. I feel like that's really what draws me in. And when I say I'm Catholic to my bones, it just feels like I can't escape from that. And that being kind of the important point.
So the smells and bells really do it for you.
That's right.
I mean, and I think that's something that, like, Catholicism got really, really right, that, like, during the Reformation, like, Martin Luther was real pissed about a lot of stuff, but I think he took it too far in some, like, he got rid of mystery in a lot of ways, and getting rid of things like icons, getting things of, like, beautiful, like, really, like, investing in things like art and music as ways for people to connect. Because Lord knows, like, I'm definitely going to connect more, like, when, like, singing with a choir in a cathedral in a space like that creates beautiful art is, like, 20 times more meaningful to me than, you know, Hillsong's latest pop anthem about Jesus is my boyfriend.
Can we talk for a second about just how mysterious, in a really similar way, I feel that authentically queer spaces are? Because especially for me, coming from an extremely suburban white background, when I go into these places where, you know, queerness was developed, you know, as a way to to survive, but also to find life and joy when you're excluded from all the rest of society. I am very much out of my element and just kind of in awe in a way that I experience similarly when I go into a Gothic cathedral, when I am in the middle of a choir that is just, it takes me to this place where I'm like, I don't fully understand what's going on, but I can tell that it's beautiful. I can tell that there's some raw goodness there and I want to tap into it. And I don't even know how I tap into it, but I just am glad that I'm here in the midst of it, that I'm able to witness it. And that sense of there's something bigger and beautiful going on here is really powerful for me in queer spaces that I've been able to be a part of, or even if it's, you know, witnessing it from the distance of a, you know, a documentary or something like that, like it takes me there.
I think I love what you just said. The thing you said was this thing about mystery. I don't know, I don't understand it, but I am glad that I'm here for it. I think so much of our experience of God is like wrapped up in this thing where like we're trying so hard to understand God. We're trying so hard to like make sense. Like we want to make sense of every single thing, because that's also just like how our brain works, right? We're constantly trying to assign meaning and make it make sense. And also I think that in some ways, well, yeah, I want to use my rational mind because that is a gift of God. But the surrender to the mystery is something that, like you said, just like, I don't know what it all means, but I know that it's beautiful. I think being able to just experience beauty and let that be that, like the point of beauty being beauty, the point of art being art, you know, rather than always saying like, oh, it has to be something. It has to like serve a purpose other than just being. And I think that like, if we can do the same thing with our experiences of God, like we're just like, every single experience has to be this profound thing, rather than just saying, you know, I'm going to experience God in a song, experience, like I can experience God in this conversation. I don't know. There's something about mystery that I missed a lot from my evangelical upbringing that I think friends from both mainline traditions and Catholic tradition have taught me more about what it is to press into that mysterious thing that is apparently God.
Yeah. And of course the great irony is that at least for us still within the Catholic Church, it's this attempt to try and explain and overanalyze everything that's kept us excluded from kind of full communion with the church, and this is keeping the Catholic Church from an affirmation. There's also, you know, we can talk about the earthly side of the Catholic Church, but there's also like a super heady intellectual side, which has been around for a real long time and is not, you know, very friendly towards kind of updating things. And it's because of a inability to lean into that sense of mystery around identities, and as well just the lived experience of people that they don't understand and have typically been marginalized. And so it's there's kind of these two very competing worlds within Catholicism to really lean into this mystery and beauty and everything, but to also really overanalyze absolutely everything.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Like, do you actually think, like, in your imaginary mind, what would you want to see the Catholic Church be like in the coming, I guess, like, you know, like there's so many moves within like different moves of Christianity towards inclusion and affirmation. Do you think it's possible? Maybe not in our lifetime, but do you think like, is that a possibility for the Catholic Church to even consider moving in that direction?
I feel like I have to think it's possible. Like Pat said, the church is very slow to change on some things. And I'm not naive, and I think it's probably going to be slow here. But I also think that it takes queer Catholics living their lives to kind of push and be part of that change. And I feel like I have to believe that one day, you know, I'm going to see two same-sex partners getting married in a Catholic church. Yeah,
it's something that I don't think we could be doing the work that we're doing at Vine and Fig if we didn't believe that was going not only just possible, but that it is going to happen, that there's enough raw goodness within Catholicism to get them there. Like if it's rotten down to its core, like, yeah, there's no point. There's no point staying, and there's no point in trying to make it better. Like it is just a go find a better place type scenario. But if there's enough there that we feel we can find our own lives reflected in and find the ability to kind of expand their understanding of the sacrament of marriage to also include us too, then it's absolutely, it's worth some folks, trying to push them into, to get to that point. And we are absolutely of a mind that the biggest thing that's going to get us there is just Catholics being able to see other queer Catholics at church and in visible queer spaces. Exactly. Because so many of them have no idea how many folks that are standing alone on a Sunday at Mass are queer. They have no idea how many of them that just happen to, you know, sit next to women sitting next to each other, that they're actually a couple. They have no idea how many of their priests are gay, like the enormous amount of priests that are gay. They have no idea how many of the men and women that are in opposite sex marriages are gay. There's just so much of it that goes unseen and unspoken within the Catholic Church. But once you start to see it, you can't unsee it, and you can't help but realize that the church, it doesn't have to fully, you know, change and revolution. Like, we're already there. There's already queer people within the Catholic Church. It's just a matter of figuring out how to love them.
Damn, son. You better come on with that prophetic vision. And I guess that's also, like, my question just in general. And, like, this is heretic Kevin talking, because I am so
far out of these.
Thank you so much for holding space for my heresy. But that's my question. Like you said, just like, if it's rotten to the core, it's not worth it. And it's obvious that you guys believe that. The story that came to mind as you were saying that was like the story of Abraham, and he's like, if there's just one person, if there's just one person, is it worth saving it? And that is something that I wrestle with so much, especially within, I mean, I come from evangelical world, so like that's its own thing. And I look at evangelicalism, I'm just like, I'm not convinced that the core is good. I'm not convinced that the roots are not rotten. And so it's this thing of just like, I have been so much, at least I guess like within the past 3 or 4 months, my focus has been really shifting from trying to advocate for churches changing and just starting to build spaces that are affirming and open. And I also don't really, I don't know, it's this thing of just like, I'm an evangelist for love. I just want people to know, like, I still tell people about Jesus, but just like not in a way that's like problematic or like weird. It's like, well, actually, no, it is, it's weird, because obviously it's weird, but that's just who I am. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just like, there's that doubt in my head. And I go back and forth on it, like whether or not I want to be a Christian some days. But then it always comes back to like, I still like Jesus, and I can't fucking get it out of my head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I get that. And I feel like that's kind of similarly how I feel about Catholicism. Like, I just can't get it out of my head. But I also will say, at least with the Catholic Church, there are, you know, billions of people. And I don't know, I have this mindset that there are more good people out there than there are anybody else. So I guess that's maybe just me being a glasses half full kind of guy. But
and the thing is, like, we need folks like you, because I'm not going to say that I'm not an optimist. I will say that I'm just a little, I think I lean heavy into my realism sometimes. And
Well, so, Kevin, I will say that I am an optimist and I need people like you in my life to like bring me back down, because I get all of these ideas in my head of like, well, what if like maybe I just form a personal relationship with some of these bishops that are problematic? And then I have people like you that be like, no, fucking stop, because that's going to be harmful for you. That's a terrible idea. They will chew you up and spit you out. So like maybe let's start somewhere a little more moderate. And so I would say, I don't know. I am a big proponent of it doesn't have to like all of these different viewpoints as far as, is it better to completely leave the church? Is it better to
work from within, all of that? Or anything.
Right. And I think you need all of them. Honestly, I don't think that the Catholic Church will get any better without some folks leaving and saying, I can't take it anymore. Like, I think that the leadership needs to see that, like, they're constantly losing young Catholics in order to get to a place where they finally ask themselves why. And I think that there for the folks who stay and say, I want to work within the church to try and make it better, like there needs to be a whole lot of folks who say, I can't step foot within a Catholic church anymore. It makes me sick to my stomach, but I still like, I love you and I'm glad that you're working towards that. So like, I'm just going to be a good friend to you on a Friday night when we want to go get drunk. And like, that's going to be my support for you. Like, I think that all of those people like can and must work together. And it doesn't always have to be this really explicit, like, well, you know, we all have to like, you know, make sure that we're there on Sunday in order to actually make a difference. Like, that's bullshit. And it's not actually how real change happens.
No. And it's not how we get people like to care about the things we care about either. And like, I did the backwards thing. Like when I became, you know, when I came out guns blazing as an advocate, it was either you with me or for me. You're either for me or you're not, and fuck you if you're not. And so I've gotten to that's exhausting. It's a very exhausting way of moving through the world. But I think you're absolutely right, is that for those of us who can and want to, it's like can and like I want, it's like, I remember like my old church, I was going to this church called Grace Midtown in Atlanta. And yes, I name drop them all the time. You know what you did. They were a church that I was super passionate about for a long time because I just saw the good. And it came down to the thing where eventually I told them, I said, when and if y'all vote to adopt a non-affirming policy of queer folks, that is when I leave. That is, you have me until then. And I kept my promise to them. And it was one of those things where like, when I stayed until I couldn't, and I've still got friends who are still going there trying to work on change. Because they can and they want to. And it was like, I want to, but I can't. And now I'm to a place where it's just like, you know, I don't even want to. And that is okay, because our advocacy should not look the same. Because if we're all working on the same thing, nothing is going to get solved. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like we get that sometimes in our Slack community that we have, where folks will talk about like, I can't even go to church. And other people will be like, oh, I go every Sunday. And it's this weird push and pull where I think everyone's testimony is valid. And the way that you have to live out your life is kind of your own, can be your own little form of protest in some manner. So whether you're going or whether you're not going, I know we think that's totally valid. And
Also, what is it you said a second ago? I just wanted to say to either one of you, if you ever need to go out and get drunk with someone on a Friday, you can definitely let me know. Always down for a ride.
We're going to road trip to Atlanta right now, so we will see you. Hopefully it'll still be Friday night, but it might be pushing Saturday morning at this point.
That's totally fine. I don't have any appointments till 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so just great. Come on over, baby. I've got a couch that folds into a nice bed situation. My friend's out of town. There's an extra bed here. So phenomenal. You've got beds to stay on, you guys. Can't wait. So let's pivot a little bit to specifically talk about like what Vine and Fig actually is, because we've talked about our stories. We've talked about why we stick around. But Vine and Fig is actually an online community and like a growing resource for queer Catholics and people who want to know more about like the experiences of queer Catholics. How did you guys come up with the idea? Why now?
Yeah, so I think the first thing that kind of comes to mind when talking about Vine and Fig is that we really wanted it to be a space for queer Catholics to exist. There are other organizations out there, but we wanted to kind of focus on providing a sense of community for people that sometimes could feel really lonely because a lot of the queer individuals operate in churches kind of underground and in secret. Not always the case, but a lot of the times. So we wanted to really focus on the community side of things and being a resource for folks. We started out with like blog posts and videos, and then have created recently a Slack group, so like an online chat program if you're not familiar with Slack, and started a book club and things to kind of foster a sense of community. Pat?
Yeah, I think we were... The initial genesis of it was that we had been inspired and had received so much from especially kind of the faithfully LGBT communities that were out there, but also noticed that there weren't a whole lot of Catholic voices out there. And so if you wanted to try and figure out, well, how do I do this as a Catholic, you didn't have a whole lot of folks that, you know, we're kind of out there as a witness and could kind of show the way. And so we got this idea of, well, you know, okay, well, what does it look like to be a queer Catholic today? What, you know, where are they? Where are these people?
Where are they?
So it was out of a desire to kind of showcase real voices and real people and to be able to tell stories of what it's like and kind of those give validation to those lived everyday experiences, because so many queer Catholics, they live in little bubbles in their parishes, or even if they're not, you know, at a place where they can, you know, go to church anymore or anything, but they still kind of have a Catholic instinct in them. Like there's just a sense of like, well, I just read an article that another, you know, Catholic school teacher got fired, and that makes me feel super shitty. But like, I don't know, somebody told me that like, it's totally within the right of the school to, you know, justify their religious liberty and everything. So, you know, I don't know, I feel really conflicted and everything, but there's no, who else are you going to go talk to about the fact that you feel like it could be you any day now that is experiencing that? And so we wanted to be able to at least give some validation to those emotions and those lived experiences of what it's like to be a queer Catholic. But then also take that further and say, how do we allow folks to connect and to tell their stories to each other, to be able to have some meaningful attempt at, you know, learning from one another and giving advice to one another. So that's why we created then the Slack room for that's a community that, even though most folks are probably living in areas where they can't meet, you know, after church or anything like that as a queer community, like at least you have an online space where you can go and be safe. And even if you work in a Catholic school, even if you are not out to your family and all these things, like you can at least connect with other queer Catholics.
I love this. Also, preemptive ask, I'm currently planning a summer camp for queer adults, summer 2020. You want to come lead the Catholic Affinity Group? Thank you.
Whoa, that sounds amazing.
We
are all in.
I have camped one time in my life, and I got a really bad cold because it was super cold outside, and I didn't dress warmly enough. So I will do better. I'm from rural Ohio, but I'm like the worst person in the outdoors.
No, it's just, listen, we all, the body has different gifts. Some of us are butch queens and some of us are fairy princesses. Like me, I am a gothic unicorn. So,
yeah. You know, I mean, look, I went to Joshua Tree and stayed in like this geodome, like crazy architecture building and was in the air conditioning. So I am definitely not cut out for it, but we will do it for you, Kevin.
Well, the thing about me and like camping and like doing a summer camp is that we're going to have cabins, we're going to have air conditioning, we're going to have like actual good food. good programming and drag shows and booze, you know, like any good queer Christian camp. You know what I'm saying?
It sounds amazing. And I think Patrick's tent is going to end up looking like the Harry Potter tent where you walk inside and there's like brass beds and incense, and it's going to be wonderful. So
that is
I'm excited about all of this.
That'll be mine too. I wanted to touch on like one more thing. Is like if you could speak to like other just like queer Catholics out there who might be listening who don't feel like it's that they can actually claim both their Catholic identity and their queer identity, what's an encouragement you would want to give to them?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. I would say, like, you're great where you're at. Like, where you're at is because you've experienced some things. And I don't for a second want to take that away, whether it's you've had some bad experiences within the queer community, or more likely you've had some bad experiences within the Catholic Church. And that's super valid. And there's no way I can say that, you know, you kind of need to get over that and get to another space. Mm-hmm. The only thing I can offer is that hopefully some of those bad experiences that you've had, like, there are folks who are out there trying to work towards fixing it, and that there's a hope for a better version of that Catholic Church. And even if you're not at a place where you can be a part of that, like, hopefully you have some sense of hope that it can get there. And if you are in a space where you want to work towards a little bit, and I don't know what gifts you can bring, whether it's some righteous anger or it's something a little more nuts and bolts, but it's like, you're welcome with us at Vine and Fig. We have a whole lot of all of that going on. We have everything from university professors to high school students that are like just trying to figure out what's going on, and we need more of what you've got. So if you're at a space where you want to share it with us, like, you're just going to make our lives better. So that'd be pretty cool if you did.
Yeah, the thing I'll add is that when I was kind of coming out to myself, it was kind of this dark period of my life because my main issue that I had was with my Catholic identity. And I was operating from this mindset of fear. And I realized that that's not how God would want me to live, or I couldn't reach my true potential or be who God created me to be if I was afraid to just live my life. And so I would say I totally agree with what Pat said, to kind of engage as much as you can or feel comfortable with. But also I would say that to try to not be afraid, and that people will surprise you. I was at Mass like maybe a month and a half ago. It was back in June during Pride Month and around the Pride season here in Columbus. And I was doing the sign of peace, so like shaking hands with the people around me in somewhat the middle of Mass. And I turned around and shook this hand of probably a 75-year-old woman. And she just had this like circular rainbow Pride pin on. And it was just the coolest thing to see in Mass. I chickened out and didn't say anything to her after Mass. But I guess, people will surprise you. And I think there's more goodness out there. But definitely be mindful. Engage as much as you
can. Yeah. Protect yourself. Engage as much as you feel comfortable. And maybe expect miracles. Expect good things. So here's my woo-woo witchy woman coming out for a second. I've been reading A Course in Miracles recently, and so I've been like kind of like getting a bunch of new language around love and how God interacts with the world. And one of the things they talk about so much is operating out of, like, you know, a mindset of fear versus a mindset of love. And when we're operating from a mindset of love, which is who God is, it really does change our perspective. We really can open ourselves up to mysteries and miracles and surprises, both within ourselves and within our denominations, within our churches, and within the people that we're interacting with. But I think when we, if we only expect people to be assholes to us, mm-hmm. we're only going to find the assholes. We're going to find a reason to be pissed off. And I'm preaching to myself right now, to be honest. And so if I can start seeing every single person as my brother, my sister, my sibling in Christ, you know, fully included in the Christ mystery already, then I can already see their potential. I can already see the goodness that can come out of it. And that's not to say that people are not going to hurt us, that people aren't going to disappoint us, that we're not going to have to be safe and continue to be safe. But what it really feel like, it fills me up with a lot of peace, knowing that I believe in a God who still is working miracles. And sometimes the biggest miracle is just changing my mind about myself, changing the mind about how I think things have to be done, and surrendering it to the Holy Spirit to really work however she does. Oh, I don't know what that had to do with anything, but it felt good to say out loud.
I feel it. It felt good to hear it.
That was my conversation with the creators of Vine and Fed, Pat Gothman and Patrick Weston. You can follow Pat at P. Gothman all over the social media, and follow Patrick Weston at Patrick F. Weston. And you can connect with Vine and Fig across all social media at Vine and Fig Co., as well as their website, vineandfig.co. Pat and Patrick, thank you so much for your time. I really, really enjoyed this conversation. Sorry it took me so long to get it up, but you know how these things go. Sorry it took me so long to get it up. I've said that line before. I need to be stopped. Anyways, let's do credits and whatnot. A Tiny Revolution is brought to you by supporters like you on Patreon. And if you don't know what Patreon is, it's the easiest way for you to support the creators in your life, making the content that matters. And I will fully admit, like, I am kind of a shitty person at getting the rewards out there. And something I realized when talking to my people is, I was like, oh, Kevin, we're not supporting you because you can give us perks. We're supporting you because we think you're important. And that really kind of took some pressure off of me. So I just want to say shout out to all the people who continue to support me on Patreon, even though I'm the worst. I am trying to, in this next iteration of my life, be better at that, as well as trying to, you know, actually fulfill the things I say I'm going to do. So thank you for your patience in that. But if you like the show in and of itself, go give us $5, give us $10, you know, become a part of the Slack community, you know, give $15 and you'll get a free t-shirt every quarter. We get it from Queerly Beloved. That's another great perk. I love you. I think that's, you guys are amazing. So if you've enjoyed this podcast, please support the work or the videos or the blogs or anything else I'm doing on the internet. Anything helps. Everything helps. Because Lord knows we are digging our way out of debt, baby. Until we can get Elizabeth Warren elected and get all of our student loans reduced and whatnot. You know, we're hustling. We're hustling in these streets. So support your creatives in your life. And if you're not somebody who can, like, throw dollars around, I totally get it. We're on the verge of a recession. One thing you can do is leave a review and, you know, do that right in your podcast app. Just give us 5 stars and then share us on social media, because it's the easiest way. It's just to share everything with your people and your friends. And I would love to, you know, get introduced to more of your friends. I think that's everything, right? Is everything I usually say? Once again, Reimagination Masterclass, it's going live. Make sure you register. I'm only taking 12 people, and this first go-around is going to be, you know, a pretty dope discount, so don't miss out on an opportunity to become part of the first one. I think it'd be really, really cool to have you in there. So hit me up if you have any questions about that. Additionally, what am I thinking? I think that's everything. Oh, the book. Big Queer Fam Weekend. All that information is on my website, thekevingarcia.com. And that's also where you can connect with me across social media at thekevingarcia. I think that's everything. I love you so much. Thank you for tuning in once again. And until next time, make sure you talk to your therapist. Make sure you're taking your medication if that's something you do. Make sure you drink some water. Move your body. Have that conversation that you've been meaning to have with somebody. Because I know that, like, it's like, oh, I just don't want to have this conversation because I know it's going to be heavy. I'm like, of course it's going to be heavy. But it's only heavy because you're still carrying it. So why don't you get off your ass and do the thing you're supposed to do? Be honest with yourself. Be gentle with yourself. And release all that. expectations, but go have that conversation you're supposed to be doing. Anyways, I love you so much. This has been another episode of A Tiny Revolution. My name is Kevin Garcia. I'll talk to you next week for episode 100, bitch. Bye.